years occupied by the skeleton of a frustrate commercial enterprise. As Lord Peter let himself in, he heard his man's voice in the library, uplifted in that throttled stridency peculiar to well-trained persons using the telephone.
"I believe that's his lordship just coming in again. If your grace would kindly hold the line a moment. What is it, Bunter?"
"Her grace has just called up from Denver, my lord. I was just saying your lordship had gone to the sale when I heard your lordship's latchkey."
"Thanks," said Lord Peter. "And you might find me my catalogue, would you? I think I must have left it in my bedroom or on the desk."
He sat down to the telephone with an air of leisurely courtesy, as though it were an acquaintance dropped in for a chat.
"Hello, Mother. That you?"
"Oh, there you are, dear," replied the voice of the Dowager Duchess. "I was afraid I'd just missed you."
"Well, you had, as a matter of fact. I'd just started off to Brocklebury's sale to pick up a book or two, but I had to come back for the catalogue. What's up?"
"Such a quaint thing," said the Duchess. "I thought I'd tell you. You know little Mr. Thipps?"
"Thipps?" said Lord Peter. "Thipps? Oh, yes, the little architect man who's doing the church roof. Yes. What about him?"
"Mrs. Throgmorton's just been in quite a state of mind."
"Sorry, Mother, I can't hear. Mrs. who?"
"Throgmorton. Throgmorton, the vicar's wife."
"Oh, Throgmorton, yes."
"Mr. Thipps rang them up this morning. It was his day to come down, you know."
"Yes."
"He rang them up to say he couldn't. He was so upset, poor little man. He'd found a dead body in his bath."
"Sorry, Mother, I can't hear. Found what? Where?"
"A dead body, dear, in his bath."
"What? No, no, we haven't finished. Please don't cut us off. Hello? Hello? Is that you, Mother? Hello? Mother?" "Oh, yes, sorry. The girl was trying to cut us off." "What sort of body?"
"A dead man, dear, with nothing on but a pair of pince-nez. Mrs. Throgmorton positively blushed when she was telling me. I'm afraid people do get a little narrow-minded in country vicarages."
"Well, it sounds a bit unusual. Was it anybody he knew?"
"No, dear, I don't think so, but of course he couldn't give her many details. She said he sounded quite distracted. He's such a respectable little man, and having the police in the house and so on really worried him."
"Poor little Thipps. Uncommonly awkward for him. Let's see, he lives in Battersea, doesn't he?"
"Yes, dear, 59 Queen Caroline Mansions, opposite the park. That big block just round the corner from the hospital. I thought perhaps you'd like to run round and see him and ask if there's anything we can do. I always thought him a nice little man."
"Oh, quite,"
said Lord Peter, grinning at the telephone. The Duchess was always of the greatest assistance to his hobby of criminal investigation, though she never alluded to it, and maintained a polite fiction of its non-existence.
"What time did it happen, Mother?"
"I think he found it early this morning, but of course he didn't think of telling the Throgmortons just at first. She came up to me just before lunch. So tiresome, I had to ask her to stay. Fortunately, I was alone. I don't mind being bored myself, but I hate having my guests bored."
"Poor old Mother. Well, thanks awfully for telling me. I think I'll send Bunter to the sale and toddle round to Battersea now and try and console the poor little beast. So long."
"Goodbye, dear."
"Bunter."
"Yes, my lord."
"Her Grace tells me that a respectable Battersea architect has discovered a dead man in his bath."
"Indeed, my lord, that's very gratifying."
"Very, Bunter. Your choice of words is unerring. I wish Eton and Balliol had done as much for me. Have you found the catalogue?"
"Here it is, my lord."
"Thanks. I'm going to Battersea at once. I want you to attend the sale for me. Don't lose time. I don't want to miss the Folio Dante, nor the De Voragine. Here you are, see? Golden Legend, Vincin de Vorda, 1493. Got that? And I say, make a special effort for the Caxton Folio of the Four Sons of Amon. It's the 1489 Folio, and unique."
The Folio Dante is the first Florence edition, 1481, by Niccolò di Lorenzo. Lord Peter's collection of printed Dantes is worth inspection. It includes, besides the famous Aldine Octavo of 1502, the Naples Folio of 1477, Edizione Rarissima, according to Colomb. This copy has no history, and Mr. Parker's private belief is that its present owner conveyed it away by stealth from somewhere or other. Lord Peter's own account is that he picked it up in a little place in the hills when making a walking tour through Italy.